Let's open in prayer. Father, I'm struck with the profound prayer that was already said this morning. You are not only welcome here, Lord Jesus, you are expected. And in our testimony time, you were here. Thank you for your presence, and Father, now, challenge us from your word. Challenge us so that as you are faithful to us, that may echo in our hearts so that we will be faithful to you.
Yes.
It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I read a variety of books. I love to read. I love fantasy, history, biography. I love technical books. The geeky part of me loves to read about, you know, physics and science. But in our study in Proverbs, in the Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, I found myself saying, you know, I don't understand a whole lot about money and finance. So I started to read the old Robert Kiyosaki Rich Dad, Poor Dad series about money and finance. And I was reading one of his books called The Cash Flow Quadrant, and he talked about how he was at a seminar in how to handle money, how to make money, how to use money, because I thought, well, maybe I could pick something up that would be helpful in our Proverbs class. And he said he went to one seminar that said, if you want to know how to handle money well and make it and keep it and to actually begin to accumulate wealth, you have to think differently about money. You have to think about wealth. And he said there were three steps: be, do, and have. He said with money, you have to be. You have to start thinking about money, about your expenditures. Do I need this, or is this just a doodad, a luxury? You have to start to say, I need to be frugal. I need to save. You have to say, I have to get debt out of my life. You change your thinking to say, I want money to go into assets and I want to avoid things that are liabilities. Then he said you have to begin to do things that flow from that new way of thinking. You have to find good investments, take sensible risks, have a little faith. You need to work hard. You need to avoid the things saying 90 days, same as cash. That's bad. You need to avoid debt. You only purchase what you can afford. Then he said you move on to the third stage of wealth, which is where you have. That's where you begin to have some financial freedom. This is where you're able to afford some things because you haven't tied your life up in debt and liabilities. And he said there are steps. Be, do, have. And he says you can't skip the steps. But we're Americans, aren't we? We watch TV. I mean, it always kills me when I watch a TV show, everybody lives in an expensive $500,000 home. The only TV shows I've ever watched in my life where I said, oh, well, this is how we live, have been Roseanne and Married with Children. I look at their house and say, yeah, that's our house right there. You know, I look at Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and I go, oh, we don't live like that. But you see, we see that on TV and we say, oh, I don't want to go through that being phase. I want to do what the rich do now. I want to have what they have now. What do the rich do? Well, they belong to country clubs. They have European vacations. They travel the world. And what do rich people have? They've got boats. They've got Mercedes. They've got expensive homes. So people skip be, which is be frugal, be sensible in how you spend. It's like, oh, I'm an American. I'm going straight to do and have. And then you find yourself in $300,000 worth of debt and there is no wealth because you owe your soul to the bank. And the Holy Spirit, as I was reading that book, said, do you know what, Mike? Doesn't that happen spiritually? And that's all the farther I got in that book. And I said, this is why you had me read this. Because people want to sometimes skip, be, do, have. That works in your Christian life. being a believer, when you are working on being a believer, it's the same set of steps. I want to be with the Lord. I want to spend time in His presence. That means I have several appointments during the day where I meet with Him in prayer. I make it a daily practice that I am reading this book. Now, devotional books are fine, but this is the real text. This is where you should focus. And then I begin to say, do you know what? Prayerfully before you, I have areas I need to die to sin. I need to put this aside. I need to repent of this. That's being a disciple. Then you move in to doing, where you begin to say, well, now this is what the Lord wants me to do in my local church. This is what the Lord has for me as a ministry. This is where He has gifted me, and now I can begin to do things for Him based upon my relationship with Him. And then after that, I can actually have fruit that God brings into my life, and I can see that there's a flame burning there where He's actually saying, there's heat and light coming out of my life as I'm working for Him. But it's so easy because we're Americans. I mean, this is a lot of work just for me. It's in my basement. That's where I do most of my praying. That's just a cold basement. Wouldn't it be better to do Christian stuff? Yeah, like, man, I want to go on some exotic Christian retreats. How about some big-name Christian concerts and big-name Bible conferences where I might even be able to get to shake hands with big-name Bible speakers and say, oh, I've met Chuck Swindoll. Yeah, he and I, tight, tight. I want to have some of these things that, you know, a real leader in the church has. I want to have a leadership role. Boy, would that look good on my resume. I want to be up front so I can have recognition. Now, one thing about being up front, Carl and I are going to make a club, introvert club. Because neither he and I enjoy being up front, but that's our ministry. Like, if you watch Carl, did you watch him coming off the platform? He doesn't walk off like this. He's like me. He walks off, oh boy, keep me in there. Don't look. He did that this morning. But in spiritual growth, you can't skip steps. It's be, do, have. If you do, it causes spiritual bankruptcy. And that's why this morning we're going to look at four people in the New Testament who skipped steps. And it caused, for some, spiritual bankruptcy. For some, it brought about death. For every one of them, it brought about a time of correction. Two of these people we're going to look at skipped B and went straight to do, and another two skipped B and went straight to, this is what I want to have right now. I don't want to spend time being. I don't want to spend any time doing. I want to be here right now. I want to have stuff right now. And the first person to skip steps we're going to look at is Martha of Bethany in Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Martha of Bethany. I love Martha because in a lot of ways she's like me. She's, okay, let's get this done. Let's get this done. We've got work to do. Let's get this done. Now, this is early on in Jesus' ministry. And it says here, we're going to look at Martha's hospitality in verse 38. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She opened her home. Now you figure Jesus and His disciples and just a few other people following after Him, you're talking about a group, maybe there were 20 to 50 people. Now guys, let me ask you, how would it work if early in the morning you said to your wife, oh, by the way, we're having a bunch of shits come in at work, and I've invited them in tonight for supper at our house. There's only going to be about 20 or 50 people to entertain. And I mean, you'll get home at 4. We won't be here till 6. So that gives you 2 hours to prepare. That's okay, isn't it? I've already made the arrangements. They're on the way. Yeah, that would be suicidal, wouldn't it? Yeah, yes, it would. They didn't have Gianinos. You couldn't call up. There was no White House chicken. You couldn't go to Linda's kitchen down the road and say, I'm going to need a couple really big cakes. No, Martha had to put this together. So from Martha's point of view, this was a big deal. But she had hospital. And why did she do this? Jesus. Boy, Jesus. I've heard him teach. I want to listen. I want to get close to him. I want him to talk to me, to my family. I want him to talk to Lazarus. I want him to talk to Mary and all of our friends. I want to be close to him. Now, Martha made a little bit of a mistake. We all know about that. Verses 39 to 40. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet after they were there listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Martha was a doer. I like Martha for that. But she forgot what was important here. She'd invited Jesus in to get close to him. Mary got what was supposed to happen and was sitting at his feet. Martha was going, I've got 20 to 50 people to care for. I've got stuff to cook. I've got stuff to make. I've got stuff to prepare. She got distracted. She was supposed to spend time with Jesus, being with him. But she started to do. I've got to make food. Do. I've got to serve. Do. I need to be serving right now. I need to be working. I need to be working for the Lord. Doing. Doing. And this is where she said, Lord, tell her to help me. And Jesus had to correct her and said, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So I'm not going to tell her to come help. You come out here and listen and be close to me. Martha, I just want you right now to be. Be. Don't worry about do. Be with me. Be, do, have. Don't skip the steps. See, a lot of us think that, do you know what? I don't have to put the time into it. I want to be a good cook. You know what I do? I go to the mall and I buy myself a $100 Cuisinart pan. This makes me a good cook. Does it? Not if you've tasted what I make. No. Do you know what makes a good cook? Look at this. That's my granny's fry pan. Do you know what makes you a good cook? Being with granny and learning how granny does this, being with her, spending time with her, that's what makes you a good cook. I tell you, my wife does so much better with this pan than that one. Part of it, I think, is because even if you come up here and smell it, I coat this in bacon grease every time we wash it. Be, do, have. What makes things work is following the right order. If you want to be a good golfer, Chuck, I should ask you, what's going to make you a good golfer? Going out and spending $500 on a fancy putter like, look at all this dampening stuff here. Man, the feel of this is nice. This putter is nice. But I guarantee I couldn't sink anything with this. Do you know what I would need? I need to start with the basics. Just a putter that I could probably pick up and play it again for $20. And then spending time with my dad or my brother-in-law and learning how to set up the putt. How to follow through, how to read the breaks. That comes by spending time, by being with somebody who's an expert. That's where Jesus was saying to Martha, you need to be with me. Spend time with me. Let the doing will flow out of that. Don't get in a rush. Martha invited Jesus into her home to be with him and got distracted. We invite Jesus into our heart and say, we'll follow you forever, and then we get distracted. Oh, well, yeah. I guess the most important thing is now. Do I teach a class? What do I do in the church? Okay, I got to start doing. And you forget the stuff. Do I have regular appointments for prayer with the Lord? Do I have a regular time set aside to read the Bible? Am I working hard at saying, Lord, show me the sin in my life that needs purged out? That's where growth comes from. Another person who became distracted by wanting to do rather than be was the rich young ruler. You remember him from back in April? He's one of the guys who sat on the fence. That's in Luke 18, just a couple chapters back. Let's go to Luke 18. The rich young ruler, verses 18 to 25 in Luke 18. And I mean, here it is, right in verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, and Jesus probably only had at the most 4 weeks left on the earth at this time. He was on his way to the cross. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do? Boy, we focus on do, don't we? What do I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one's good, but if you want me to play your game, you want to talk about the do list? Okay. I'll give you a do list right here. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. There you go. There's a whole bunch of do's. And the guy says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Essentially, in verse 21, the rich young ruler says, I've been doing all my life. It's just do, 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 do. And it doesn't satisfy. It's not scratching where it itches here. That's where Jesus goes, yeah, that's right. That doesn't scratch where it itches. Because that's not how you have a relationship with me. You trust in me. Jesus said in verse 22, when he heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Jesus probably had only 4 more weeks on this earth for this person to follow him. Jesus was aware of that. He knew the timetable when he was going to make the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and be rejected. He said, don't focus on do and get rid of all that stuff you have. Focus on me. You've only got 4 more weeks with me. Follow me and be a disciple. But in verse 23, it says, when he heard this, the rich young ruler, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. And he walked away. It's difficult to be. What was Jesus getting at? He said, follow me. Be in my presence. Spend time with me for us right now. You need to pray. You need to read this daily. You need to work on saying, Lord, what is it in my life I need to clean up? You can't skip steps. You can't skip steps in your relationship with Christ and your service to Him. You can't skip steps in relationships to people. In November of 1989, I saw my wife for the very first time. It was at my cousin's house on Winchester Avenue over in West Akron. There was a knock on the front door. I looked over to see who was walking through, and I said to myself, oh, hottie alert. Look there. Aha, man. This beautiful brunette walked through the door. I just sat there and I went, oh. Now, I didn't want to be. I wanted to do and have. I said, I want to have her as my girlfriend. I would love to just go up right now and just hug her and say, baby, I am your intended. You're coming home with daddy. Do you know what I chose to do? I said, I'm just going to be. So I walked up to my cousin and I said, Donna, would you please introduce me to your friend? Of course, I said this after I looked at her left hand and saw there were no rings. And I said, yes. And so Donna says, oh, Mike, this is my friend Suzanne. Okay, now, single guys, I'm going to give you the best pickup line you have ever heard. And it worked. She married me, went out with everything. This is the best pickup line you can ever hear. I'm only going to say it once, so you better listen. Here it comes. I held out my hand and said, hi, I'm Mike. Now, there's other things I could have done. I could have taken her jacket and said, oh, here, let me take that. Oh, let's look at that tag. Oh, it says just what I thought it did. Made in heaven. The dweebometer would have just gone boing. I could have done what other guys do and sit there and said, wow, you must be really tired. And she'd have said, tired? Why would I be tired? And I'd said, because you've been running through my mind. And she would have said, you know, this guy, no. Do you know what I did? I decided just to be myself. And we talked and laughed for 4 hours straight. I ignored everybody else in the room. I was focused on her. And you know what I did? Then I said, may I call you? And she said, why, yes. And I said, would you give me your phone number? And she goes, sure, here it is. And she wrote it. And then the following Wednesday, I gave her a call and I said, hey, could we go out and see a show and, you know, go get something at Lou and High's? That'd be nice. And I can't believe it. She just kept saying yes every time I asked her out. And then finally she said yes when I said, will you marry me? And for 23 years, I've been married to the woman who is the love of my life and my best friend. Be, do, have. You can't skip the steps in a relationship with somebody you love, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It works the same. The third instance of skipping steps is found in a husband-wife team. They tag-teamed this one. We're going to look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 4, 32 to 51. Acts chapter 4. I think the root cause of their sin was covetousness. I think Ananias and Sapphira coveted honor and respect. Let's read through verses 32 to 37 real quickly here, just to get an idea of what was going on that caused them to covet. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is something Joseph did this, and his name is recorded in Scripture. When people did this, it was something that the people in the church were like, whoa, what obedience. Wow, what a heart of devotion to Christ. Whoa, what a sacrificial spirit. And Ananias and Sapphira saw that, and they were like, boy, look at the honor and respect that Joseph just got. And they even gave him a Christian code name. Barnabas. I'd like a Christian code name too. What would they call us? I don't know. But this guy's got it going on. He's got something. And all the other people that are doing this, they're getting respect and honor up in front of everybody. And they thought, that'd be cool to have. We'd like to do something like that so that we could have honor. We want that honor. Why? Because it's cool to be up front and have honor. What does Jesus want you to do? Oh, that doesn't matter. I want to sell this land. I want to have that honor. I want to skip that. I want to go straight to being right at the top. Maybe they'll put my name in the Bible just like they did with Barnabas. Yeah, it did get in the Bible. Let's read the story and see why. So in chapter 5, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. His idea was, I want to have honor. I'm going to buy myself position and honor. I'm going to take this cash and buy something so I can have something, make me feel good about myself. It has nothing to do with how I'm being led of the Lord. I want my name in the Bible. Oh, you're going to get it. Careful what you wish for, Ananias. Careful what you wish for, Sapphira. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. His wife came in with the same lie just a few verses later. She fell down and died. They were not getting what they wanted from their church. Well, I'm not getting what I want. I want to have more. I think I need to have more from my church. I'm dissatisfied. I need to have something. Well, if you're a church and you're saying, I don't have enough, well, my thought is, well, what is it you want? Look at your heart. What is it you're looking for? Maybe you're just not being in the presence of God enough. You know, that's just a personal discipline that you have to put into your life. You have to do that. Pastor can't do that for you. Your Sunday school teacher can't do that for you. The deacons can't do that for you. Elders can't do that for you. The trustees can't do that for you. That comes from your love of Christ. That you say, I sacrifice this time to you. Just like we put tithe checks in the offering, there should be time that we tithe to the Lord in my day timer that I carry everywhere. For the last 2 months, on the top of the right-hand page, I have be, do, have. And under B, there's P1, P2, P3, B. Prayer one time during the day, prayer two, prayer three, and Bible reading. And the goal is each P gets 20 minutes. The B for the Bible reading, until the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I don't put a limit on it. And sometimes I can read 5 verses and I'm hit. Sometimes I read 5 chapters until finally I feel like this is what God wanted me to hear today. That's how it's supposed to work. Now, there's another instance where someone skipped being in Christ's presence in order to have is Simon the magician in Acts chapter 8. Ananias and Sapphira, they coveted having. They wanted to have honor. Well, they got their names in the Bible. But now we're going to look at Acts chapter 8 with Simon the magician. Simon the magician was a man who already enjoyed attention. Chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This is the divine power known as the great power." They followed him because he amazed them for a long time with his magic. This guy was boastful. He was really full of himself. He had fans. If this would have been today, there would have been t-shirts. Simon the Magician, fan club, I like Simon. People gave him their attention, intelligent people, simple people. And he enjoyed that power. But then a new game came to town. Philip the Evangelist arrived. And now the true power of God, not just illusions and sleight of hand, but the true power of God made itself manifest. In 12 to 13, but when they followed him because, you know, he had amazed them with their magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So he's sitting there going, this guy, Philip, he's doing things, and they aren't sleight of hand. This isn't a card trick. This isn't an illusion. This isn't something where I've got something hidden up my sleeve. This guy is actually doing miracles. He is a channel for the power of God. This is pretty exciting stuff. Then Peter and John come from Jerusalem and lay hands on people, and the Holy Spirit falls on them. Verses 14 to 19, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them some money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Huh. Simon coveted power. There was no interest there in, I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to root out sin in my life and simply stay in his presence. Let him talk to me. He wasn't interested in letting his life and future ministry flow out of that where the Holy Spirit would show him his gift set and where God wanted him to serve. He was going straight to, whoa, miracles, and this is a better thing than I was doing. This isn't sleight of hand. I want this power. I will pay big bucks for this because this is going to make me a lot of cash. I've kind of missed having people following me. I've missed the fan club. I've been following Phil. Now, I want this for myself. Now, Peter calls out the problem. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing that you have said may happen to me." And that was the end of it. We don't hear anything more about Simon. Does that happen today? Oh, yeah. People want power and control. They want it in churches. A long time ago, Suzanne and I were at a church. They decided that if you came to the worship service late, you weren't allowed to get in because the worship team was singing. Now, sometimes the Sunday school teachers were late for Lauren, and I didn't want to let a whole bunch of five-year-olds running crazy. So I would stay there until the teacher came. Sometimes we were 10, 15 minutes late. Well, they wouldn't let us in because they said, well, the worship team is doing their show right now. And they don't want to be interrupted. You can walk in as soon as they start to pray or something like that when it's real quiet. And I'm going, what? What? Oh, yeah. People in church can get power hungry. And that's where it's not about having or doing. You should be. People just didn't want to be disturbed. See, people like the whole idea of power. See, I think before you can use this, before I let my kids play with this, do you know what a good dad does? He says, first, you learn how to use this. Yep. You won't hurt yourself. Well, maybe. We'll be cutting some wood later today, boys. It goes in steps. It's progressive. You start here. You work up to this. Otherwise, you get hurt. Same thing happens over here. When I do leaves, man, the whole family wants to use this.
Oh, yeah, give me this. Yeah, power tool.
But you know what? Before you start with this, I want to see that you know how to use this. Show me you know what to do with this, then we'll talk about that. But everybody wants to have the power right away. Give me the power. Give me the power tools. I want the power. Yeah, the bigger the better. That's why I want an F-350. You can't skip steps and grow spiritually. It's be, do, have. There's a logical order for success. Do you know, maybe a good tool to measure if we are really serving Christ and have a meaningful relationship with Christ is to look at that tool. It's a logical tool. You can't skip steps. You can't skip prayer and intimacy with the Lord and figure out where you're supposed to serve. And if you're not serving where Christ wants you, then how can the Holy Spirit bring fruit? And when the Holy Spirit brings fruit, there's heat and light. And it warms people, and it helps, it shows light on Christ. And maybe the best way to understand it is to say, like a candle set. Like a lot of people maybe want to have a life that has heat and light, and they say, I want to have impact in ministry right away. I want to have heat and light. And so they say, okay, there we go. I've got a little bit of light and some heat right there. Ooh, that's getting a little, that was a little too much. Okay, no wait, we can do this again. Okay, I'll do this again. I want my life to have heat and light. There we go. Heat and light. I'm ministering. Oh, that's too hot. That's too hot. Ministry burnout. Ministry burnout. You're not rooted in prayer or the Bible. You're not rooted in a life of holiness. You're not letting God direct you as to what you should do. You're just choosing something so you can have. You're skipping the order. It doesn't work that way. What about the do phase? You know, you just can't sustain that. People sometimes just want to rush to do ministry. Well, it's like the candle. This supports the flame, so I want to do something. Okay, well, let's set this up. And then maybe we can light it and have a ministry. Let's set this up right now. Oh, might be there. We can have a ministry. It won't stay up. It needs something else. What does it need? It needs a holder. It needs a base. The most boring part of the whole thing, isn't it? A base for a candle? That's boring, but that's what it needs. That's a cute little thing, isn't it? A little acorn. This is my dad's. Now, you start here with B. B. Have multiple scheduled prayer times during the day. Have time that you commit to being in the Bible. Look for areas to change your life. You don't have to be like me, but it helps me to actually have them written down so I can check it to see if I did it that day. And I put check marks. Did I do it? If I did, I get a check mark. You start there. Then let the Holy Spirit say to you, this is where your ministry is. This is where you're gifted. Now, I've got a holder that can support ministry. Okay, now I can start to minister. And let's see what happens. Now, let's see what happens when we have a little bit of heat and the Holy Spirit involved. Guess what? It works. I'm just a little person. I don't give off a whole lot of light, but I've kind of got the basics. Be, do, have. Right here. That's what God wants of you. Amen. Start here. Let the Holy Spirit tell you where you should be working. Then serve. And there's the fruit. Heat and light. And people will be drawn to this because you've not skipped the steps and you've put it in the right direction. Can't skip the steps with the candle. Can't skip the steps in your walk with Christ. You can't fast track discipleship. You can't get away from that time with the Lord. And the way that you make it work is you spend time beneath the cross of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, for the areas in my life where I try to skip and I go right to the do and the be, I confess that, and that is so wrong. I do that and I have to check myself. And if I'm doing it, my guess is that there are other people here that find themselves saying, look, what's important is something's got to get done. This has got to get done. There's no time to pray about it before I do it. I've got to do it. It takes action. Be, do, have. The order cannot be skipped. Father, if there are people here this morning that are saying, I wonder if this is why a lot of times I really question my relationship with God. Well, maybe you're trying to do and have without being. Maybe it's time to say, I need to work on the base of the candle. Maybe there's some who've been covetous at times. I've thought, I'd really like to do that. Father, we've got to start at the beginning. What do you want us to do? What is the ministry you want us to have? It's not what we choose. It's where you put us. So, Father, today as we leave this place and as we sing the hymn Beneath the Cross of Jesus, that should be the prayer of our hearts. This is where we want to stay, beneath the cross of Jesus. And then you tell us where our ministry is. And when there is heat and light that the Holy Spirit brings to that ministry, that's to your glory. Because that doesn't come from us. That's you at work. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.